Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win if I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Tim Torch. I have a trading problem and probably a lot of other problems, too.
That's what we're here for. We're all there. But hey, everybody, and welcome to session 307 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. It's good to be back. DAP, not DAB. Buh. Come on.
I'm old, my kids, right? Yeah,
My kids started dabbing, and I said once, I was like, really, can you just knock it down a little bit? And ever since, they're like, oh my God, daddy hates it. Let's do it every 3 seconds. And it's great when they do it so emphatically, they just slap themselves in the forehead. Kids are great, everybody. But hey, it is insanity right now. So, and we have our saint of a human being, of Frank, who gave us the news in a wonderful, beautiful, like, organized format. So honestly, we're probably saving the news for last at this point. But before we get too far into anything, Tim, it has been far too long since you've been on the show. So why don't you let everyone know who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, I've always been around. My name's Tim Torch. You can find a lot of my audio work over at Under the Helmet. So for Under the Helmet, for the last few years, I've been behind the paywall on the Patreon side of things. Still been recording every week with Chad, even when I left the main show. Over the last probably 3 or 4 months, I started in a rotation just once a month, getting back on the regular weekly show that everyone just downloads for free. But I am still every week on the Patreon side of things over there. And today we actually recorded just a lot of quick free agent reactions. So I actually have one rep under my belt for a lot of these guys already with Chad. So it's amazing, like, the amount of information I've absorbed. I've been around for, gosh, it feels like forever. I remember starting out with Dynasty Nerds with Tyler Gunther and everyone else, and then I helped them get the Happy Hour Pod off the ground back in the day, and that's actually when I was invited on the UTH main show. for a hot minute, I've just been all over the place. it's been insanity. But ever since my daughter was born, I really settled into a role with UTH where it's just what I can handle when I can handle it. And I've been very lucky.
Wait. So you're telling me we can settle down to things we can handle?
That's what I've been told.
No one told me this either, Russ.
Right? Like, see, Tim, this is our bad for not having you on more often. I could have learned about this years ago.
The first step is admitting you have a problem.
Exactly.
Like you said, the problem is we just lump it into, we have so many problems, we stop listing those problems and we forget what they are. But we have a news problem today because free agency has just gone nuts. So I know normally we do news and then I'll ask the guest which we should do first, listener questions or trades, but we have one trade, and then we have a couple of questions. So we're going to do the trade, we're going to do the listener questions, and then we're going to get into the news, because if not, the news is going to take 3 hours, and then we're like, oh yeah, we should probably get to the actual point of the show. So let's get the trade addict stuff out of the way. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team, Superflex, PPR, tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception, and 0.05 points for return yardage, because our one trade is in TA8. And the trade is Amon-Ra St. Brown for the 102 and a 25 second. I saw this go through, and I have come to terms is the wrong phrase, because like it's not like a bad thing, but like Amon-Ra St. Brown has hit that like top-ish tier of wide receivers for me. Like, yeah, I have Jefferson and Chase. We'll talk about Jefferson in a couple of minutes, I know. Like, they're up there on their own. Lamb might be up there with them, but like Amon-Ra falls into that Lamb and AJ Brown area for me. Like, the questions are gone. He's there. Even after the Lions spend a decent draft pick on a wide receiver, which they most likely will, Amon-Ra St. Brown will still be up there. But in this draft class, with the rookie hype that is as insane as humanly possible, this comes down to pretty much Amon-Ra St. Brown or Marvin Harrison Jr., right? So, Tim, like, what do you feel about this?
I disagree with what that is. But for me, this rookie class, I have Drake May as my QB1. So it is different for me. If you do view it that way, if you do view Marvin Harrison Jr. as your second player, then I'm going Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, he has three seasons of really prolific production. The last three seasons have all been over 100 targets. Last two seasons have been over 1,000 yards. Rookie season was almost 1,000 yards. I don't know why people overthink it and are just like attracted to the new shiny thing all the time. I understand that you are getting what is considered a blue chip prospect, but it's really easy to forget you have one that's sitting on your roster already that's doing really great things. I was going to like, as I was looking at it, I would have asked the question if you have a quarterback in that number two spot. So if you think it's Jane Daniels, if you think it's Drake May, whoever it is, if that's your QB, I was going to actually ask, like, is the team acquiring the 102, are they needy at quarterback? Is that something they're actually hoping to get out of it? Like, they're maybe flush with wide receivers and they're trying to upgrade the quarterback position somehow. So that was kind of my view on it. And then also, of course, the whole, are they contender or not? Are they trying to like offload a definitely a proven asset to kind of change things up on their roster a little bit?
What's your top four look like?
So for me, it would be Drake May. I understand Caleb Williams is the top guy. So for me, it would be Drake May, Caleb Williams. I have kind of a tier, and then it would be Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers is the next guys. I actually put out a hot take on a UTH episode recently where I personally don't buy that Jane Daniels is going to go as high as everyone thinks he is. Ooh. Because I don't think the comparisons to Lamar Jackson are apt because of the skill position players that Jaden Daniels had around him. But one comparison that does make sense to me is the idea of the slight frame. Like, people forget that was a concern of Lamar Jackson coming out. Like, how does that body type hold up to hits? So is it really going to be a Jaden Daniels that goes at three? Are we actually going to possibly see quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4? I think Jaden Daniels could fall out of the top 5, maybe 10, because people get concerned with that frame. And the other thing I would actually say about this trade specifically, if the trade's there now, the trade's going to be there when the draft happens. It's why are you going to make a deal with incomplete information and so many things that are unknowns? The type of work that I do, I like to have as much information as I possibly can going into whatever it is I'm going into. And if you're trading away the 102, what if Drake May does go 101? And then we have a real cluster going on at the top. What if you really like the landing spot for Malik Nabers versus a Marvin Harrison Jr.? So again, if that trade's there for you right now, and it's probably going to be for there for you come draft time as well.
Tim, we don't usually provide context, but since you asked, I looked it up while you were talking. That's fine. But I wanted to let you know. I just wanted to let you know because you asked about it. The two, I believe, both of these managers took over Orphans this year. Is that correct? It's KP Booker, KP, and
he was in last year.
Oh, he was in last year. Okay, so the one trading away, Amon-Ra took it over this year. And he only has Kyler Murray. The guy he traded Amon-Ra for the 102 has Allen, Cousins, Love, Rodgers, and Russell Wilson. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense from that. If you're expecting 102 to be a quarterback, it makes a lot of sense from that perspective. And if you're expecting 102 to be Marvin Harrison, I personally would want Amon-Ra over Marvin Harrison. Like Frank in the chat said, you pray that Marvin Harrison turns out to be Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Could even be a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's so fun. It's so fun to go through like those scenarios. Like I may have a completely set of ideas compared to what you think it is. Yep. And it's just amazing how people have like different perspectives of those things. One other thing I didn't mention that I do, I actually do fantasy consulting work with the Fantasy Football King. So people hire me to come in. I do rookie drafts for them. I actually help them co-own dynasty teams. Mostly I go through and I do redraft fantasy teams, and I go in and I assist with lineups and drafting the whole nine yards. A few guys that I've had that I do dynasty work with, it's funny because one of them is just a one quarterback league. So we're going through the whole, what do you think of the wide receivers and everything else like that? The other one is a super flex league. So it's interesting having these exact type of conversations where you're like, well, I really like the wide receivers, don't you, Tim? I'm like, but it's a super flex. It's a super flex league. You want quarterbacks and super flex. And I guess that's one like big piece of information. Quarterbacks that young, they're not always easy to obtain. And you have to remember, like, if you're that high this year, the hope is you're not that high next year. So if you have a chance to get a blue chip quarterback, do you really want to waste that opportunity to get them?
Yeah. QBs are never cheaper than they are in rookie drafts. Yeah.
Right.
I will say for me with this trade, like I said, I would clearly take Amon-Ra over Marvin Harrison. If you're looking, viewing the 102 is that if you're viewing it as a quarterback, I think I still take Amon-Ra St. Brown. I was just thinking about this over the last couple of days as we've seen some of these moves with what's going on with all the quarterbacks. If you look back to that 21 class that had five guys go in the first round, yeah, maybe one of them is starting this year. Depending on what happens with Justin Fields, one of them could be starting this year. And we're all underwhelmed by Trevor Lawrence so far, compared to what we thought he was going to be. Quarterback is such a crapshoot for me. In general, I agree. I will take quarterbacks at the top of a draft, but I will take they're going to hold value, but so is Amon-Ra, 24-year-old Amon-Ra St. Brown. So I'll take the given over maybe for Drake May or maybe for Jaden Daniels. Because in the 95, even though you have May at one, 95% of leagues, I think Superflex leagues, Caleb Williams is going in number one. Yeah. So yeah. I'll take the given of Amon-Ra St. Brown over maybe May ends up being a star. Maybe Daniels ends up being a star.
Yeah. I will say value wise, this is probably right.
Well, I agree.
Plus a little bit for St. Brown. But I will say this exact conversation, there's no need for me to add anything to it because you two said everything. But what I will say is this is why when I'm trading away a stud like St. Brown, I usually don't one for one it. Like I'll want to get a pick, like two picks or a player and a pick, because it just turns into too much of this could be bad. Like, especially when going for a rookie pick, like usually when you're like, running back for a wide receiver, you know the running back is probably good already, but like when you're doing this for a pick, like Rocky said, even if you are saying I'm really into Daniels, I'm really into May, or I know the dude at 101 is taking Marvin Harrison Jr., which isn't completely crazy, by the way, so you know you're gonna get Caleb, none of that is set to be good, but like trading for Kirk Cousins is the wrong person to say, but it's literally just the only player we ever talk about. When a good producing player, like, you know, Kirk Cousins will be good. So like, you trade for that guy that you know will be good. So again, I think this trade is completely and utterly fine. Good for both of them. I'm sure they're both happy, but yeah, like it's not my deal because it leads to way too much anxiety.
I usually call that a two-way go. So you give you with a player and a pick, and I actually prefer exactly that way too. Like there was a 2025 second as part of the deal, but I'm with you. And that is like one of my, like rules of thumb. Like anytime you're trading a stud, there should be a pretty nice player coming back. There should be some quality piece that you can hang your hat on, because exactly right. You rookie picks. I mean, flashing back, I may be kind of like dating how long I've been doing this for. Sammy Watkins. Everyone had Sammy Watkins is like a slam dunk. I remember even Chad saying, like, if there's one guy that's going to hit, like if there's one profile that is absolutely perfect that should never bust, it is Sammy Watkins. And he had like maybe one season with the Bills where you can say it.
He was a bust.
But overall, that's such a disappointment. And I still remember, like, didn't he show up with like Green Bay for like one game or something like that? And he was like the wide receiver.
Watkins, I was just going to say a bust except for week one every year, Russ.
Sammy Watkins week one was a lock for 4 weeks.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things. As much as, I mean, I live in Ohio, so I want to say Marvin Harrison Jr. is a slam dunk, no doubt, future Hall of Famer, but I'm not gonna. I can't do it, man.
Yeah, shout out hashtag Team Clemson big wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase at work, but like, yeah, there's been a bunch of Corey Davis went top five, and he was supposed to be everything, and I think he's retired at this point.
Yes. So he's soon to be eligible for the Hall of Fame. That's right. 4 more years and he's eligible. All right, so let's move on to our listener questions. And I love this first question from @OurRealPeople. How do you reconcile your personal rankings/beliefs in a player versus consensus? Do you adjust your rankings at all in light of the consensus? And this is a perfect segue from the prior conversation where I was talking from consensus saying that Caleb Marvin Harrison Jr. seems to be it. And Tim right away was just like, slow down, man. So what do you think, Tim? How much do you weigh consensus in when you're talking about values? Now, again, like, we're not talking about like your publishing rankings, if you do or have ever done that, but more like when you're talking with the people that you consult with, you know, like, how do you weigh your personal beliefs versus what you know the rest of the community or the world has value wise?
Yeah, the toughest part is usually in trading, because when I have a high value on a player, but someone else thinks he's dog dirt, then where does that middle ground happen? So for me, when I look at consensus rankings, when I look at someone else, what someone else is putting out, so many resources out there, I use those as, okay, this is part of the market that I'm looking at. I'm like a stock watcher. I'm just kind of seeing things go through. Okay, this is what people are thinking. And then I also look at, okay, these are trades that are happening. So this is kind of how the market's playing out. And then based off of that is how I create a little bit of flexibility in what I do, because I have to go into trades. I have to go into drafts, realizing it's not all about me. Like if I just went straight down a board of my personal rankings, then I'm probably going to be reaching all over the place. I'm going to be going places that is not maximizing value when I take a player two rounds of ADP ahead of where they should be going. Or if I'm trying to trade for someone and I'm like, I got a first round evaluation on this guy, but everyone else in the market is saying it's a mid second. Why in the hell am I giving up a mid first when I only had to give up a mid second? So really, when I do my personal rankings versus any type of consensus information, it's just letting me know where flexibility comes when I'm doing a trade or doing a draft.
That was basically my thought, is basically kind of what Tim said there, is it's not really about reconciling it for me. It's it's sort of leveraging your personal rankings versus the consensus and trading off that. And, you know, where you have a guy ranked higher, like for years, you know, before he became a little more popular, where I was getting Cousins everywhere I could in Superflex leagues, yep, because nobody wanted him. And I had him as like a, you know, a low end QB one because he always finished as a low end QB one, but nobody liked him that way. So that kind of thing, it's using your personal rankings to kind of
Dak Prescott's kind of like that, yes, right now.
I was, yeah, it's so funny. I literally had that thought that I was listening to another pod and they were talking about Dak Prescott. I literally had the thought Dak Prescott is the new Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Just like nobody likes Dak Prescott, but he still produces every year.
Yeah. Like, and just to feed off what they both said a little bit, first of all, you know, to quote Zach Reed, like practically extra co-host of the show at times, he loves when his personal rankings differ from the world because he'll have a player ranked as his wide receiver three, but it's the consensus wide receiver six, which just means he gets his wide receiver three a lot later than he should in his mind. You know, you go and jump a little early, you grab him as the wide receiver five just to make sure. But, you know, you're getting your guy a lot later than you think you should, which is great, yeah, for you. But that also, you want to hold the guys you like higher than everyone else because that means you get them more, you know?
Right.
I mean, the reality of my T. Higgins love is I'll trade for him everywhere I can. Chances are I'm never trading him away because, yeah, no one will pay the price that I want for him, you know, but I'm willing to pay that to other people if I have to. And they damn well demand it from me because they know. so it's, again, it's not really like reconciling is the wrong word. It's leaning into it because if you believe this player is good and better than everyone else, you should have more of him on your teams. Again, if you're, you know, actual care about your, you know, roster ship and everything, you don't overload anyway. But like, I have a whole lot of T. Higgins on my rosters and I love it. You know, I have, you know, like, so, and if he has a great season, I'm better off for it. So yeah, like you lean into a little bit, and it also helps when you have players everyone has highly lower, like Tim, because he doesn't need 101s in his rookie drafts because everyone's going to grab Caleb Williams at 101 and he'll be sitting there at 2 or 3, just like, I get my 101, baby.
And if he has 101, you could easily trade him to 3, maybe 4 and be pretty certain you're getting Drake, yeah, May. And you can almost even take less than you think you should because for you, it's house money because you, yeah, you would have taken Drake May at the 101. So
exactly. All
right. Yeah, I did have a situation where I had the 101, and kind of like we were talking with the last person, I actually traded the 101 off for Justin Herbert and a little something extra, and it was just my comfort level.
Oof. For sure. Justin Herbert plus for the 101? Wow.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert over the 101, right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just checking. Yeah, Justin Herbert for me. Next question. I love this one. At Eric John Flynn. I love that we're getting questions from TA people. And Photoshop picks seem to be big at the moment. If you could Photoshop one skill player per position into an NFL jersey pre-draft, who would it be? Mm. So you're Tim. Drake May is your dude. Where do you want – which of those top three do you want taking him?
Can I put Drake May into Deshaun – like right over top of Deshaun Watson for the Browns? Just like layer him over top of – right over top of Deshaun Watson. That's probably like the number one thing I would do, a quarterback in front of Deshaun Watson right now because it's tough being a Brown. It's tough being a Browns fan. Like I saw someone tweet out that the Browns have like the toughest to root for quarterback room right now. And I couldn't agree more. I watch the team so closely. I like so much of what they've done, but I absolutely hate having to go to bat for a team because of what someone's done just look at the on-field play. Like the on-field play enough is just enough to sit, yeah, back there and say, wow, we gave up 3 years of ones and $250 million for someone to miss over 60% of your games.
Okay. It seems like it's not happening anymore, but I still want to see that number five T. Higgins in that Jacksonville green. Part of me makes me think that they're waiting out this deadline with Atlanta for Calvin Ridley. Of course, that means they'll have to pay him more because the compensation will be different and they will have him sitting around. But it feels like that's what's happening. And Gabe Davis doesn't preclude me from thinking that they're adding someone else because it's Gabe Davis, you know. But right, that's my favorite right now. And I mean, rookies, I don't really like. I would love to Photoshop Brock Bowers in a powder blue Chargers jersey.
Yes.
But I still don't understand why every single mock draft has the Colts taking him. That's not the jersey I want to see. I'm a little bitter for what they did with Ebron. No, that was the Lions. He went to them afterwards. Never mind. Take that out of the quick. Colts and Ebron mean sad. All just sort of melted together into wrong information.
They're both white and blue.
Yeah.
It's a different shade of blue, but it's white and blue.
Yeah, like, I don't know, like, any of these rookies, the wide receivers, like, these top guys feel so good that it doesn't matter, really, at this point, like, where they go. Russ will never forget Kobe Fleener. Like, I love, Frank is saying Kobe Fleener is who Russ is thinking of, but that was to the Colts, but I loved screaming from the rooftops, but Kobe Fleener and Andrew Luck, they played together in college, yes. They're gonna be great together, and it was a joke, but it was so wrong. What about you, Rock? What's one of these favorite Photoshops you would love to make right now?
This I'm actually stealing. I think it might even be from Frank. It was somebody in one of my chats, and I took this to mean rookie, so I didn't even try and think of this.
Oh, the first thing I thought of was T. Higgins, because yeah. I don't have any great like feelings towards.
I'm just finally in the last week or so starting to finally kind of dive into watching some of these rookies, and I believe it was Frank that mentioned in one of my chats. I would love to see Jonathan Brooks in Dallas. I really like Jonathan. What I've seen of Jonathan Brooks. I know he's coming off an ACL, so that could be an issue. But if he's still the same player, he's one of the running backs I've liked. I still haven't gotten into a whole bunch of guys. But of the guys I've watched so far, he's pretty exciting. I like him a lot. And they obviously, you know, they were left out of the running back carousel over the last couple days. They left themselves
out of the carousel in general.
Yeah, that's true. They were left out of pretty much all the free agents. But they have a pretty good offense in place. You know, we mentioned Dak and obviously CeeDee Lamb and all that stuff. Pretty good offensive line. So I would
look. Track record of drafting hurt players. So
there you go. So that's the one that came to mind for me. I'd love to see him there and see how that works out.
Let's go, Abe. At Making You Viral, with Sam Darnold going to the Vikings, what will come of JJ? Will there be a big enough dip to buy or does he stay? Okay. Vet backup, right? Like, this is not their answer, right? I need you guys to say yes to make me feel better.
I
they're not going into the season starting Sam Darnold, are they?
As a bridge?
I love the signing. I do think they're going to be one of those teams that aggressively tries to trade up for JJ McCarthy, but there's a few of those teams, right? Like, you could see the Raiders maybe making that move, or the Vikings, or insert a couple of other teams.
Denver,
there.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I was doing a little bit of just like, okay, what types of environment has Sam Darnold been in? We have to remember, like, the best wide receivers that Sam Darnold had when he was with the Jets was Braxton Berrios, Jamison Crowder, maybe you could squint and say he had Quincy Enunwa a little bit. Uh-huh. with the Panthers. He had a janky offensive line, and he did have DJ Moore, but that's it, man. And I saw flashes of at least a Baker Mayfield level with the Bucks level quarterback when he was in for the 49ers. And if you squint and look at it, you can actually say yourself, like, what is a good, like, system? What is a good environment that you can insert a Sam Darnold into where he isn't going to screw it up too much? San Francisco was obviously one of them. That is like the mothership of systems that you can find yourself inserted into. But I mean, Minnesota isn't far off. You have the number one receiver on the planet. You have Jordan Addison. You have an improvement at running back with Aaron Jones, and Ty Chandler, I think, is very quality, a really good tight end and a decent offensive line. That's about as stable of an environment as you can put around Sam Darnold. And like I mentioned, I think there is something there that can at least get you by. I do really think that they are going to try to move up for the JJ McCarthy or whoever that might be. But if that doesn't work out, I am probably actually working on multiple deals in a lot of my leagues right now where I am trying to acquire Sam Darnold, because people are probably exactly like you're thinking. Guy's probably going to get 3 or 4 starts. What's that really going to be? What if that doesn't happen? Do you realize what kind of trade they're going to have to pull off? Or even the GM that is with the Vikings right now, Kwesi came from the Browns, and I mean, the Browns front office was kind of forced into that Deshaun Watson trade by the owner. Jimmy Haslam is from Clemson. He is a Deshaun Watson truther guy. He loves the Clemson people. And so they got pushed into that deal, but they really want to get into the rookie quarterback world. But they're not going to force their hand. They're very programmatic about it.
I just have trouble seeing it. Even if they don't trade up, I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe they trade better in the second round, draft a Penix or something like that. I just think he's a bridge. It's funny, in that same chat that I think Frank said about Brooks, somebody said today that Darnold's going to throw 30 TDs this year.
People to throw to, right?
Like, yeah, and I could see him having some good games. I just think he's going to eventually turn back into Sam Darnold, and he's going to get happy.
Turn into a pumpkin.
He's going to throw 3 picks. He's going to throw like 8 picks over 3 games. And even if I have to believe they're going to bring somebody else in besides, what do they have there now? Jaren Hall and Nick Mullins or something like that. Either it's a rookie or somebody else to compete with them. And I have trouble seeing Sam Darnold lasting the entire season. So that's kind of where I'm at.
You want to do something really exciting? Trade Justin Jefferson in a pick to the Jaguars to get Trevor Lawrence up in Minnesota.
There you go.
That would be exciting. Yes, that would.
Did you see that tweet that came out that the Bengals, we're going
to
trade.
Talk about it. I was about to say it.
Go T. Higgins it. And two. They supposedly offered T. Higgins and 2 first for Jefferson, and Minnesota's uninterested, but they will trade Jefferson for Joe Burrow.
I hope that's real.
that is such a fantasy tweet right there.
I love it so much. Yeah, I look, and you made a great comparison, Tim. Like, if you see, like, you can squint and see Sam Darnold pulling a Baker Mayfield right here. And it's really funny that we talk about QB drafts not going like they should. That was another draft filled with guys we thought would at least be safe, and we're not at all. But Darnold wasn't bad. I didn't like him as highly. Like, I think they took him 2nd overall, right? The Jets, and then they took Wilson 2nd overall. So maybe they just shouldn't draft 2nd overall anymore. But I liked Sam Darnold. He needed some work. He was one of those guys where he'll make some throws that, like, it seems like no one else can make, but then he'll make a throw that no one else should make. So
kind of like Zach Wilson.
Yeah, exactly. Right. They have a type. But, like, again, like, if you're going to put that person in there, they might as well be closing their eyes and throwing the ball really far to Justin Jefferson, right? Like,
right.
A dude that can bail you out. I don't think Justin Jefferson's forcing his way out. I don't think there's anything crazy like that happening. And it would be crazy for an actual price dip on Justin Jefferson. But, again, with players of that level, it's never about being able to buy low on them. It's the ability to buy opens. Like, maybe someone starts freaking out and they're more willing to listen to a trade offer than they would have been 2 weeks ago when they were saying, oh, we're going to go get Russell Wilson or whatever that would make them feel better about the quarterback position. So while I'm not thinking you can go and get Justin Jefferson any cheaper than you ever were able to, you might actually be able to get him when you wouldn't have been able to before.
Yeah, it's gone from sending the message or sending a trade offer from an instant reject to, hey, maybe I'll get a counter this time.
Exactly. All right. So our last question at aimber27, how do you think about the scaling of tight end value based on your tight end premium? For example, what is McBride or any, you know, valuable tight end worth in a standard to 0.5, 0.75 to a full two? I will say this. I really don't give much of a boost to 0.5 at all anymore at this point. It never seems like that big of a jump. But also, I need to, anytime the words tight end premium comes up, I still have John Bosch in my head yelling that tight end premium doesn't mean anything. It's pointless. And I need to point out that if you don't play in it, if you've never really stopped and thought about what it really is there for, tight end premium is not to separate tight ends amongst themselves. The point of tight end premium is to bring tight ends up to the rest of the positions, because we, you know, for the past decade, even more at this point, we've been in a world where there's two good tight ends and then a bunch of So, you know, yeah. The 12th best tight end is probably the equivalent of the wide receiver 40 something. And that sucks. You know, so you put a little tight end premium in there. Well, yes, it makes Kelce and all of these guys up top that much better, but it makes people starting Pat Freiermuth not hate themselves. Sorry, Freiermuth people. I had hopes also, and it just didn't happen. Well, maybe it does now. You know, I mean, Russell Wilson never really used tight ends or anything, but that's, you know, we'll see. But so, Tim, how do you change your values of tight ends in the different levels of premiums?
Yeah, mine really doesn't change until it gets to two tight end. It's really, I'm not looking to start tight ends very frequently. Unless you're taking them to the moon, like the two point per reception or something crazy like that. But really, if you want to get into some fun stuff, get into two tight end leagues. That's where some craziness happens.
We have a very different
definition. I was just going to say, you're talking to the wrong person.
It's so much fun because you have to invest. You have to be there. When you find yourself starting Noah Fant when he's barely getting on the field, That's exhilarating.
Again, we have very different definitions of work.
Well, that also is a true premium on the position.
Yes.
And I still remember arguments I had with Katie Flower. All of us did with Katie Flower back in the day on how we viewed Superflex versus two QB leagues. She's like, in Superflex, you can start something else other than a quarterback in that second spot. I'm like, no, you can't. that is your option. You need to be starting a second quarterback in that super flex spot. So it's just funny. It's a same, yeah, similar type of conversation.
But I will say the super flex spot allows you to not have to give value to all backup quarterbacks. Like, you can put someone else in. You don't have to get a zero. Like, that's – but – yeah, two tight end leagues, not my jam. Yeah, 1.5, I don't really put that much effort into. You hit 1.75, and it makes a difference. But again, what it really, really does is almost turns into super flex, where Tim made the joke where, no, you got to start two quarterbacks. When you get to 0.75, or especially 2 points, having two top-tier tight ends is a game-changer. Like, every league I run that Zach Reed is in, he'll have two or three of them. And he even made the joke in one of the leagues that we're in together. I did a dispersal and walked out with McBride, Hockenson, Njoku, and one other tight end that I can't remember. And he's like, wow, you left with like five quarterbacks, because it's the same thing where I'm going to be starting all of those guys in this league that gives you a solid premium and takes away the positional advantage of anyone else. So when you hit 0.75, it does definitely start to come into play. For like the top seven, I don't think anything will save Chig Okonkwo. I don't think anything's going to save these guys that the tight end 15, nothing's going to save that. That is a problem with the position where we've started seeing leagues where you don't even have to start a tight end because that's how bad the position has gotten at times. Though we seem to be kind of getting in a pretty good spot right now, which is wonderful. But like that's like, but like when you get to the top and you get a premium, that puts a premium on those players specifically. And since you listed McBride, that's kind of where I kept it, because like nothing's going to make the tight ends 18 feel like anything other than a roster clogger that you cry when you start.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm more so when it gets to 1.75, 2.0, two things I wanted to bring up from different leagues I run. One, I have a league that is an ultra flex league where it's all flexes and you don't have to start a tight end. And I've made the title game 4 of the last 5 years because I've gone in on tight ends because we have a 1.75 premium. Yep. And I think people are ignoring them because they're thinking tight end. I don't need a tight end. Why do I want to start a tight end? And it's been working for me every year. I've been starting to get old there because I've had Kelsey like since the beginning and Ertz was, I had for a while, it was great. But it makes a huge difference. Like you said, against the other positions, when you have that big of a premium. And then I have a 2.0 league and I was just looking at the scoring and like, what was it? Hold on. 14, 15, 16, and 18 overall were the top 4 tight ends. So that's kind of how you, that's, I would suggest is how you kind of value, look at your scoring, look at the previous, especially if you're on MFL, I know it's really easy to do. I'm not as familiar with Sleeper, but see how they score in the, I mean, there's literally the top tight ends are literally scoring above many, many quarterbacks. So, and even I was looking further, like McBride is 42 overall. Cole Kmet was 43 overall in that scoring system last year with 2.0 premium. So yeah, so you it's definitely
too much. It's too much. You've gone too far.
I'm just telling you what I'm looking at. So
we were okay with Trey McBride, but Cole Kmet, come on, got to draw a line somewhere.
Where
man.
He ends up. I'm sorry. He's like tight end 7, and that's tight end 7 or 8, and that's where that guy ends up in a 2.0 premium. So yeah. You need to bump him up a lot, and the best way is to like just look at your scoring system. Like I said, he's like Kmet is above like Ayuk, Pittman, Gibbs, a lot of guys that you might not think of him as being over, but the 2.0 is so huge.
Yeah,
just like a great point though. I just want to make sure like you don't gloss over or anyone else like misses is anytime you have a premium on a position, leverage the hell out of that. Like that should be like the number one rule. And no matter what league you're in is if there's a premium, attack it. So we're talking about tight end premium, too tight, God forbid, too tight end or the super flex side of things. I can't tell you how many leagues like, because you get so many flexes now it's gone from, okay, I want all of the wide receivers to maybe I just want like one really good wide receiver and load up on running backs. It really leverage whatever premium you have in those leagues and just use that to your advantage. And MFL is perfect example by seeing like scoring leaders or just whatever that might be for your specific league. If it's return yards that you need to take a closer look at, there's so many little things that people add into leagues and it's a great spot.
Yeah, and Tim brings that up, and it's frustrating as hell because I'll go through Trade Addicts 5 looking for a trade to make, and I get to Tim's team, and I'm like, he has Amari Cooper. And that's it. Like, he has no wide receivers to trade me. I have no use for this. And, of course, he either, you know, you and Jordan either win or come in second place every single year of the league. So, I mean, they're doing something right. All right. You ready for this? You ready for the news? All right. So, gotta love Frank. First, he puts a Russ section. He separated this by position, but first he put Russ and that T. Higgins is requesting a trade. Now, who knows what that means? T. Higgins said from the very beginning that he has no intention on playing on the tag, which scares the hell out of me. And it's tough to see what this wide receiver market is looking like with the amount of action that's going on, not to mention the depth of this draft class. So we're not really going to talk about this, but like my anxiety is on high alert, more than normal, which is really not great. So we're going to do this the way we always seem to do it with the news. I'm going to read through it all, and then we'll go back and talk about things that are worth talking about. So quarterbacks, and I love this, old faces, new places. I'm so glad we have interns. Kirk Cousins signs in Atlanta, Russ Wilson to Pittsburgh, Gardner Minshew to Las Vegas. They got their starter. They're not trading up. Jacoby Brissett to New England, Sam Darnold to Minnesota, Tyrod Taylor just moving across the hall. Doesn't have to move his house, going over to the Jets. Jameis Winston to Cleveland. Mac Jones traded to the Jaguars for a sixth. Ugh. And Drew Lock to the New York Giants. Oh, and we talked about it before. Baker Mayfield back at Tampa for 3 years, which would have been so weird if they didn't do it. But so thankfully that went through. So you're our guest, Tim. What do you want to talk about first?
Yeah. I shared my Darnold love, so that would be, I'm fine not going through that anymore. I did share something with Chad earlier that I just thought was interesting. I think a lot of people just make the comment that Atlanta has paid for one playoff win with the large contract that just went to Kirk Cousins. I actually went to over the cap and I looked at what his total cash paid could look like if he plays through the 2027 season. He has the potential to earn $411 million over since 2012. And that's just amazing. Like that. And he only has one playoff win, only one. So that is just amazing. And paying that level of money for that type of success just blows my mind. I do think it's interesting. The investment in Jameis Winston with the Cleveland Browns, I knew they were going to look at something at backup quarterback, but they already had DTR, Dorian Thompson Robinson. And I did kind of wonder like how in they would be on that market. And I kind of viewed their investment in that position as a reflection of their concern with Deshaun Watson moving forward. And they gave him a decent contract. It was more than Jacoby Brissett made in New England. So I just think that we can't overlook that, and the possibility that Watson still isn't, that shoulder still isn't right, or that it may never be right, or it may not be right to start the season, and they may be bringing Winston in because they need to put Watson on the pup to start the season. So that was one I just definitely took a side eye to. And one other thing I guess I'll just mention as I'm looking through the names is that Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, Sam Darnold, one of those teams, New England, the Raiders, and Minnesota, are going to be left in the cold with this rookie quarterback world. And one of these guys is going to start most, if not all, of a season. And the sooner you come to terms with that and maybe throw out an offer for one of these guys for a mid to late second, the sooner you will be able to cash out on that when the draft happens and these teams aren't able to make the big trade up.
And I'm sure you think it's going to be Sam Darnold.
it's possible.
Yeah. I'll just lean into the guys at the top. I've been, as we mentioned, a Cousins fan for years upon years when liking Kirk Cousins was not cool. So I love the move to Atlanta for Cousins. Like you said, I don't care how many playoff wins Atlanta has, but for fantasy, I love Cousins to Atlanta for Cousins and for all those weapons. We've seen Kirk do it over and over again. He's done it with Diggs. He's done it with Jefferson. I think we can expect a boost for London now. Hopefully Pitts finally, now that he has a legit quarterback, and having Bijan there can only help too. And it's going to be interesting with the trade that we're going to talk about later with the receiver in Pittsburgh. But I've said for a while, like, just getting to competent quarterbacking in Pittsburgh would be so good for their weapons there. And Wilson is still competent. He's not amazing, but he was 26-8 last year on a not great Denver team. And I guess they had decent weapons, but not great overall. And I'm very interested, especially in Pickens now, given the Deontay trade. I'm very interested to see how that plays out. you know, Russ is getting older now, but he's always liked to kind of throw the deep ball that could work with Pickens. So that should be fun to watch.
Yeah. I'm not really a fan of the whole QB wins thing. This guy only won one playoff game. Kirk Cousins is good. The spotlight thing does seem to stick. Like, that's not a coincidence anymore, which I guess does lead to playoff, you know, wins. But again, I'm with Rocky on this one. Could not care less about it. Like, we are dancing naked in the streets with all of our Drake London, Kyle Pitts shares of just like, finally, yes, because besides the fact that Kirk Cousins is good, it's just so much better than what they've had.
Right. I do agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it was I am doing a dispersal draft right now as we speak. Kirk Cousins was still someone that I definitely picked up because he was still undervalued. I took him in the fourth round of the dispersal. I still think he is going to improve things overall for that entire setup. Bijan Robinson, I mean, yes, please. A distributor for the backfield. I still have my own concerns with Kyle Pitts. But I get people being excited. Drake London, I'm on board for fire.
Okay. And I also like the Darnell Mooney ad too, just for the offense as a whole. Yeah. He's another quality player that they're adding there.
They needed a body, right?
Yeah.
They needed something. But okay, so let's bring this back to Trade Addicts, right? So Does Kirk Cousins' value change at all? Do you think there's going to be a spike? Because it's not like he left a bad situation. And it's not like he's in a better situation. But I don't think his value drops because I think it was too low in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think that – I have to keep looking at the name because I keep going to say Russell Wilson for some reason. But do you think Kirk Cousins' value changes at all? Because I don't think it does.
Well, even the injury doesn't hurt him really because he was already kind of playing like a 40-year-old man. So just so play style really doesn't change for him.
Yeah, I think it's basically like viewed as a lateral move. I mean, they have good weapons in Atlanta. They just had horrible quarterbacking. They've had good weapons in Minnesota for pretty much the entire time he's been there. You know, replacing Thielen and Diggs with you know, Addison and Jefferson and adding Hawk in the mix. So yeah, I don't think it's really, it's lateral to me. I don't see any difference.
So we've been, I say we, okay. Like I've been playing the, we'll just say Pitts and London. Cause Bijan was a winner the second Arthur Smith was gone. It didn't matter who the coach was. It doesn't matter who the quarterback was, but do Pitts and London's value change for you at all? Or do you think we were already acting like it can't get worse, which means it has to get better? Because I feel like we're going to hit this double counting thing where now that Cousins is there, Pitts' value is going to go nuts and London's value probably will go up again before the season starts. And if that's the case, like, are we selling maybe? Which feels weird to say. Like, do you think that there's going to be an effect on their value? Now, I know you said you had some issues with Pitts in general, but regardless of where you have him versus everyone else, up is still up, right? So do you think their value goes up with this news, or do you think it's just like, well, we knew it was going to get better?
My hope was the entire time it was going to get better in some way. Whether it was Kirk Cousins coming in or them being one of those, like one of those teams that we just mentioned, trying to trade up for a rookie quarterback or whatever, or trading for a guy. I am still alone on this 100%, but for some reason, like I can't get off the idea of Trevor Lawrence being traded for like a haul somewhere. I can't, it's stuck in my head and it's just there until the Jaguars actually give him that stupid big contract. That's like all the other top quarterbacks. But yeah, I haven't moved him. I hoped and I expected things to get better. It is a lot. You're right, bro. I didn't even think about that. That is double counting by a lot of people.
I mean, I think they should go up a little bit. I mean, we all thought it couldn't get worse. And but I still don't think they were being, I don't think we, until the last few days, maybe were sure that it was going to me, there's a difference between Cousins and Drake May being your quarterback or Cousins, even in Russell Wilson being your quarterback, or Justin Fields. Like, a lot of people aren't sold on Justin Fields as a passer, and there was a lot of talk of Justin Fields to Atlanta. I think they – I don't think it should go up tremendously, but I think they should take a little bump from whatever they were before. And I don't know that a Cousins bump was baked in. Like, to me, there's a fairly significant difference between Cousins and almost anyone else they could have gotten.
Justin Fields was able to fuel Cole Kmet.
Yeah, 43
overall.
43 overall.
But yeah, so I mean, I don't think it should do, you know, like, they should really go up by like a first value or something like that. But I do think there should maybe be a slight bump, and I think there probably is. Maybe you want to call it double counting. I don't know that, like I said, that until the last 3 or 4 or 5 days, that a Cousins bump was definitely baked in.
Yeah. And to move on to Russell Wilson, since I keep saying his name anyway, I don't think his value changes either. Weapons probably did get a little better. I mean, I love Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy, but clearly they ain't happening to the level I wanted them to happen. But Pickens had a really decent season with the equivalent of me at quarterback. So, you know, such a good downfield passer, like Rocky pointed out before, Wilson being such a good downfield passer and Pickens having a very good percentage of downfield catches. And I just, like, I'm worried about Pickens' value getting way too high now. I probably have one share of him somewhere. And if that's the case, he won't be on my team for much longer. Because even though I do believe he will do well, especially with when we've seen what he does when Deontay Johnson wasn't on the field last season, I think the hype might get a little crazy, in which case I'm going to just bow out on that and assuming I can get the value I want. Like, I think if you can find yourself into that top tier of rookie picks, like that 107, 108 area, I think I cash out very quickly on that.
No, I'd 100%
I think Addison's on Twitter right now saying he's a top 10 wide receiver.
Well, Steelers fans are crazy. You know.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, that Pickens should likely be a sell, especially if he goes up that much. If you can get a late mid first, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you're not getting an early, and the mids are still too top tier. So, yeah, not the 110, but not the 106.
Yeah, I do think that is going to happen. I think Pickens' value is going to soar, and I think he's going to be a big-time sell. Like you said, even if he's good, I think his hype could get out of control over the next couple months here, especially if they don't draft like a first round wide receiver, maybe draft a guy in the mid to late second, or lower. If they don't draft a guy in the second, because it sounds like that after the Deontay trade, they might be looking for a guy in the draft.
Yeah, probably. They love their second round wide receivers, and this is absolutely a draft to go get a second round wide receiver.
Right, and if it's not a really hyped guy, I think Pickens, the value even goes even more out of control. Like, Pickens is just going to get everything.
Good. Let them go do that. And I mean, I love the idea of Gardner Minshew starting this season, because if the magic doesn't happen where Aaron Rodgers forces Davante Adams' way to New York, which I really hope doesn't happen for Garrett Wilson's sake, Gardner Minshew showed that he can feed his number one. Michael Pittman had a really good year, even though, you know, after Richardson went out. So my many, many Davante Adams shares will love Gardner Minshew starting there. Though the zero threat of a running game at this point is a little worrisome. I was getting some trade offers for Zamir White for firsts, and I'm just like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa. Oh, and also don't forget, Rodgers is running as vice president, so he might not actually be starting. Thanks, Frank, for bringing that one back up.
Unless it's Jesse Ventura. That was the tweet.
Okay, so let's... You know what? I was going to say running backs for last because of the craziness that it is, but we need to do it. We need to talk running backs. Let's go. Old faces, new places. Saquon Barkley to Philly. Rocky, Saquon Barkley to Philly. Whew. Josh Jacobs to Green Bay. I did not see that playing out the way it did. Austin Eckler to Washington. What a weird choice that one was. Joe Mixon traded to Houston, which I kind of love. Derrick Henry finally signing with Baltimore. Tony Pollard going to the Titans. Aaron Jones got lucky, man. They did him so wrong, waiting so long to cut him, but he got his money in Minnesota. DeAndre Swift to Chicago. Poor Roshan. Gus Edwards to the Chargers. Devin Singletary to the Giants, Antonio Gibson to New England, Zach Moss to Cincinnati, and DJ Dallas to Arizona. I love that he even bothered putting DJ Dallas on that. Thanks, man. So, all right, why don't you get us started, Tim?
Yeah, I caught some heat from Chad for saying this, and I really feel this way. Outside of Saquon and Derrick Henry, all of these guys still have a roadblock of the draft ahead of them. I'm concerned. Like, all of these guys, they're sure they signed, but DeAndre Swift, I'm not excited for him in Chicago. I mean, he's still dealing with Roshon Johnson. Swift is still terrible at the goal line. Those things don't change. Aaron Jones is definitely a veteran. He had explosive moments that last year, but that's also after he got to spend like a half of the season sitting on the bench rehabbing an injury. Saquon Barkley, this is a great landing spot. But you have to be a little bit worried about the volume of receptions that he's getting, which is always what we're so excited about, because he's dealing with AJ Brown, Devonta Smith. Dallas Goedert is a quality option. There's, like I said, outside of Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, each of these guys still have the draft to contend with. I really am not a big fan of any of it.
Wow. All right, cool. All right, so Rocky, I'm going to go now because I'm just going to give you however long you need to go over Saquon and that Kelly Green. This makes me cry when I remember that I traded Saquon for the 110 a couple of months ago at this point because I was bored. Because I kind of thought this was a chance and I'm like, it's not going to happen. But it happened. Saquon went to Philly. I was not ready for Josh Jacobs to Green Bay. And then I'm like, really? Why would they do that to That's why they would do that to Aaron Jones, because they're cutting Aaron Jones. So I'm liking that. And I do want to point out that Tim's right on all of this, except for Saquon. None of these guys are workhorses. Saquon is a workhorse. The rest of them are not and should not be. And that's important to remember in all of this, even though like they all seem to, a lot of them seem to get equal money. I love Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. He's still so young comparatively, you know, as a guy that coming off of his first contract. And that's an up and coming offense where they like leaning on a running back, and they saw that they couldn't lean on Aaron Jones anymore. So they moved on. And I absolutely believe they can lean on Josh Jacobs, but again, they're going to bring in a body. They absolutely are. They have to. But I do really like, but again, should his value change? No, because he was the dude in Las Vegas. He scored like the dude in Las Vegas. I don't think he's going to do much better in Green Bay. So again, dynasty value doesn't really change. Austin Eckler, his value has tanked in anyway, because he's like 74 years old and not coming off of a bad season. Things have to happen for him to do really good in Washington. And I'm not ready to say that is like, he's not worth a first anymore. And this doesn't change anything of that. I was pretty much writing off Joe Mixon at this point, but Houston's the perfect landing spot for him. Houston has shown that they don't need anything special at running back. Like Damian Pierce,
Devin Singletary
did great. And Joe Mixon is talented, even if he's at the end of his rope is a really wrong phrasing, because it's not like he's dying or anything. But like, you know, he's not the talent he used to be, but still, I think he's good enough to do much better than he did this past season in Cincinnati. So I love the landing spot for him. Derrick Henry in Baltimore. I just love power runners behind mobile quarterbacks. It gives me those Alfred Morris flashbacks, you know, again, to show our age a little bit, you know, back when RG3, you know, reintroduced running into the NFL as a quarterback. Tony Pollard to Tennessee is nice. I think it's funny. I recorded Dynasty Wall Street today. And the great thing about recording two shows in the same day is I'm just going to edit them both tomorrow and put them both out at the same time. So you get to hear my same take twice in 2 days. But this one actually is, I'm stealing it from Travis May, where it's like Derrick Henry was on the field. You knew they were running it with Derrick Henry. At that point, when Tyjae Spears came on the field, you knew they were probably passing it to him. Pollard and Spears are insanely similar. They probably want this. They want it so they can run or pass with either of them on the field. Like, this is, I mean, go back a couple of years. This is Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, where both of them were capable of running and catching the ball. And it was infuriating as fantasy managers in general, but it worked for real football. And I think that's where they're going to be in Tennessee now. Aaron Jones to Minnesota, I love it because, like you said, Ty Chandler is valuable. He will play. But I think Aaron Jones will get a majority of the work. And that's, again, assuming he can stay healthy and assuming he still has it, which I think he does. I'm just a fan of the player. DeAndre Swift. I'm still a fan of the guy. And it makes me sad. This helps me push back Roschon Johnson because I joke that I love him because he's a converted quarterback just like Jerick McKinnon was. And Jerick McKinnon took that seven-year arc to become fantasy relevant. So this makes me able to push it back a little bit on Roschon. But I think he'll be great there. But again, if they bring in a bruiser, you shouldn't be worried. Like, Swift never should be an every down back. But I love the landing spot. And the rest of them are just pretty whatever. But like, I like a lot of these landing spots. But none of their value really changes for me because they all seem pretty lateral.
I would agree with you that none of their values really change all that much. I will disagree, I think, with both of you a little bit on Josh Jacobs. I don't think he's – you left him out of the not going to be affected by the draft. I definitely think Green Bay is going to draft somebody just because they lost Jones and they lost – well, they haven't re-signed Dylan as of yet. So they got to bring in somebody else besides Jacob.
For sure.
But I don't think with this class that they're going to draft anybody that's going to seriously threaten Jacobs. And I will say he you said most of these guys other than Saquon aren't workhorses. Jacobs is a workhorse. I was just looking. He's got two every year since his rookie year. He's got 262 touches at least, which in today's NFL is a workhorse. So and that includes missing a few games at the end of last year. So I don't know that it necessarily, and he is in a better offense. So maybe his value doesn't go up in dynasty, but I do think we could see a slight up. I mean, a couple of years ago, we had a good year when Derek Carr was still there, a real high end year. And I think we could see something closer to that again, compared to what he was last year. And then of course, Saquon, I love this for as an Eagles fan, but I also love it for Saquon. I know what Tim said about the running back receptions, and there probably is something to that. It's never really happened there. But I usually caution away from this. I don't think it always pans out, even though tons of fantasy analysts always say this. But I still believe the money that he got, they are going to use him. Like, I don't like saying that because I think a lot of times people like I can remember, this is a little ways back now, but I remember when Kenny Golladay signed that huge contract. Oh, well, he gained so much money, they have to give him like 150 targets, and that's not what happened. But I do believe that's going to happen here because I've been saying all along, I didn't think they were going to get Saquon because Howie Roseman does not invest in running backs. I don't believe he spent $12 million a year. I know only like the, you know, first couple of years are guaranteed and they can probably get added to that or something like that. But I just don't believe he put that much money into a running back, and they're not going to use him more significantly. And they may not; he may not get as many catches as we'd like, but I still think he's going to get a lot of usage, a lot of volume, and maybe more touchdowns than people think. I know people are worried about the tush push, stealing touchdowns from him, but he only had 6 touchdowns last year. I would guarantee you he gets 6 touchdowns in this offense, and I'm not sure the tush push works as well without Jason Kelce. Yep. So I think that could help him to get more. I definitely think he probably gets double digit touchdowns this year. So that's where I'm at on Saquon. And I do think just the offense is kind of as long as Hurts can get a little bit better than he was in the second half of last year. The first half, he was a lot closer to what he was in his amazing 2022 season. Everything fell apart for everyone in the
second half. Entire offense started to fall apart.
Yeah. But I mean, if Jalen Hurts gets closer to that MVP form from 22, you got Jalen Hurts, then you got AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Dallas Goedert and Saquon Barkley. It's kind of ridiculous. If it can all come together.
One thing to start looking at to kind of bring together everything we're talking about is it's really important to not just look at the starters, also look at who the backups are. And if they have nothing in terms of a backup running back or in depth behind the starter, then it makes a lot of sense for those teams to try to add something through the draft or to try to make one more move. You mentioned Josh Jacobs. A.J. Dillon isn't there anymore. There's still an empty seat sitting behind Josh Jacobs that needs to be filled. Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson, you can kind of pencil in what that looks like. Derrick Henry, Justice Hill, Keaton Mitchell's pretty good. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, those two are together now. You can kind of go through them all. with the Chargers, Gus Edwards. You figure there's got to be something else that lands there with the Chargers. Devin Singletary to the Giants. You figure there's got to be another piece there. So you can kind of – what I really like about free agency happening now is these backfields. While they're not all the way set, you can really take a look at some of them and say, is there – like even Zach Moss. Am I willing to sit here and say Zach Moss is the unquestioned all-touch guy and they're not going to do it. They do have Chase Brown, which we can kind of discuss varying levels of interest in him. But realistically, there's still an open seat there that, and with a number of these spots that we should still be considering for some level of replacement.
And kind of in relation to that, not necessarily with the draft, but you know, on the sheet here, you put R.I.P. Spears, or either you or Frank did, Russ. but to me, if anybody was vaulting Spears up to like RB1 status, you are not paying attention to the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years of the NFL. Like, he was not going to go into this season as the lead back, like the clear lead back. That was never going to happen. It happened through free agency and not the draft, like Tim was just talking about. But this was I never in a million years thought Spears was going to be the clearly best running back on that roster by the time the season started. And I also just want to say, like I said, I agree with you. I definitely think Green Bay's drafting somebody. I just don't think that they're going to draft like one of the top two or three guys. And even this draft, the top two or three guys are probably not Josh Jacobs. You know,
yeah, they're not pushing Josh Jacobs out of the way.
Yeah.
What is the earliest? Because Saquon Barkley worth a first round pick for sure. What is the earliest super flex first round pick you would send for Saquon right now?
108.
I was about to say the answer. Like my top tier is seven players. You know, you have the three quarterbacks, the three wide receivers, and Harrison Neighbors and Jimmy
Zay. That's exactly what I was thinking.
And Brock Bowers. Like that's the top seven. McCarthy, if he gets drafted early enough, maybe pushes his way into there. But also, I'm a little worried about caring about that too much.
Yeah,
you know.
Oh my.
But still, so the second you get out of that top tier, that's what you pay for someone that has the ability to be the running back one. And I think that's would I do it right now? No, because it's the non-point scoring season, and the running backs score points, no less 27-year-old running backs. So, like, I'm not really going to push that, but I think that's the value, which, again, makes me cry a little more that I took the 110 for him. and I also did get John Bosch's soul in the deal. I need to make sure that is very well known. I got the 110 and John Bosch's soul. And if you go onto myfantasyleague.com, you can search leagues, search Trade Addicts, go find Trade Addicts 10. You will see the custom player created soul of John Bosch. It happened. It is there. It is in the league. It matters. I think that's the answer. What about you, Tim?
Yeah, I think I'm there. I would probably put JJ McCarthy in there just because starting quarterback.
I will get drafted early enough by now.
I'm right there in that area with you. Saquon, I do think has number one RB potential. That is in, as we always say, that is in his range of outcomes.
All right. Well, maybe not if Christian McCaffrey still feels like being himself, but he doesn't count anymore. Like he's turned into Calvin Johnson for me. He just didn't like Calvin Johnson was unfair. I used to have a petition to get Calvin Johnson taken out of fantasy football because like it wasn't fair. And that's what Christian McCaffrey started doing. So like the non Christian McCaffrey RB1, What about Josh Jacobs though? Like, I mean, he's worth a first, absolutely. And I mean, there is more of a drop off at this tier, then I think a lot of people want to feel like, I know the depth is great, but the difference between that Roma Dunze, JJ McCarthy, and Brock Bowers to Xavier Worthy, you know, like that level of players, Franklin, and I know a lot of people like Keon Coleman a lot, like there feels like a decent enough drop at there that I'm probably not that far off price wise with Josh Jacobs as well. I don't think you need to give up the 108 for him. Like, I think you can, you know, give the 10 through 12 and maybe still have a shot at Jacobs. But I think I would say probably around that 8 area for Jacobs, I would be willing to do if for some reason I needed to do a trade. The trade deadline was the rookie draft. You know, like, this is the only time you're allowed to make a trade for a running back. I think I would trade the 108, 109 for Josh Jacobs to get him on my team. Again, of course, don't play in a league like that. Let me just put that out there. But like, if I couldn't trade for a running back later on and I needed to make a trade right now, I would make sure I would get it done, and I would be willing to send like that 108, 109 for Jacobs.
So it's funny we're having this conversation, because we talked about earlier, you would never do this type of trade anyway, because you're not really a one-for-one type of guy. So I think like a realistic package for me is, if I'm trading away a Josh, I love personally, like, one of the things I do frequently in a lot of my leagues, not with Jordan on the co-owned team, because Jordan and I just work a little bit differently. So that league is its own, is its own entity. But mostly what I do is I flip running backs for wide receivers. Mm-hmm. And if I can get a pick on top of that, it's just gravy, because wide receivers, especially like established ones, your guy T. Higgins, if I can ever get up to a Jamar Chase or something like that, I'm always thrilled if I can make those type of moves. But I think one thing we are talking about here, if you could move Josh Jacobs for these picks, you have to remember that it is kind of turning them into a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And especially if any of these guys at that point, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, all of these guys have round one. Right now they have round one expected draft capital. And we have to pay attention to that, because round one wide receivers, I'm going to bet on all day, every day, every time I have the chance to do it.
So I pulled up real quick. I pulled up Superflex ADP on DLF, because February came out, and I searched for Josh Jacobs, who was RB14, by the way, 78th overall, 79th overall, George Pickens. Of course, that's going to change a little bit now, but like, I feel like you call that a victory if you could flip Jacobs for Pickens.
Sure.
Probably.
I think value-wise, it's a victory. Not points-wise. Points-wise, Jacobs is going to score more points. But like, just like in that kind of flip, I think that's kind of where you're landing. The closest rookie, as I look real quick, is Brian Thomas at wide receiver 33. But they don't list what wide receiver that is, like what rookie that is. So it doesn't really – and I'm far too lazy to count. So, but that's around the value of what it's looking at on just – again, ADP doesn't equal trade value, but just to throw it out there. Sorry, Rocky, you were about to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't have a lot to add to what you guys were saying. I was just going to say, I mean, it's splitting hairs a little bit, but I would probably be a couple picks lower on Jacobs. I'm not as sure I see the upside as high as Saquon's. Also, and there's uncertainty with running backs from year to year pretty much anyway, but also, Jacobs is really only signed to Green Bay for 1 year. I believe they have like three options or so. There's only like $12.5 million guaranteed or something like that of the big contract he got. And then I think it's like three Green Bay. At least that's the way I heard it. There's like three Green Bay option years after that or something like that. Now, if he does well, like we expect him to, I'm sure they'll probably want to keep him.
Yeah.
But it does add a little more uncertainty into it. So I'd probably be a couple picks lower, but I agree with you. I mean, it has to be a late first. I wouldn't be quite as willing to pay as much as I would for Saquon. Maybe more 110.
Oh, like I said, in the real world, correct. But like in a world where I'm forced to do something right now and never again, I'd be willing to pay up a little bit because I believe in the player and I like the landing spot. But
and I would definitely want him over that second tier of receivers, though, if you were saying,
All right, so let's move on to wide receivers. Like wide receivers and tight ends, we definitely go down in volume and quality a little bit. Old faces, new places, Gabe Davis to Jacksonville. The talked about Deontay Johnson traded to Carolina. Jerry Jeudy traded to Cleveland for a fifth and a sixth, which hurt my soul. Darnell Mooney to Atlanta. Devontae Parker to Philly. Does anybody care really fantasy-wise about any of these besides Deontay Johnson?
No, not
for me. These aren't generally just as a conversation point. These aren't usually the type, like when I add wide receivers to my team, these aren't the type of guys that I go for. I will just as like the Cleveland guy, I will add a note that I do think is interesting about the Jerry Jeudy one. Post 2024, so going into the 2025 season, the Cleveland Browns top three wide receivers, so Amari Cooper, Jerry Jeudy, and Elijah Moore are all free agents. Mm-hmm. So the Browns do get their first round pick back going into next season, but I would expect one of those three to see an extension or of some kind sometime soon or partway through the season to give us some clarity. But that's just kind of an interesting point that I'm keeping in mind. Like, what if it isn't Amari Cooper that gets extended and is Jerry Jeudy? And we are looking at a Jerry Jeudy-led wide receiver core for the Browns moving into 2025 and beyond. I did look at Rocky's point about Josh Jacobs' contract. If they make him a post June 1 cut in 2025, they only take on $3 million of dead money the next 3 years, and they save $8.5 million in cap space each year. So it really is a one-year deal, and if he doesn't do it, he's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as Jeudy, I've never been as into Jeudy as everyone else. Even if he's leading that receiving core, to me, he's just a guy. I know Russ doesn't want to hear that.
Yeah,
the Deontay thing is interesting to me. It's not an awesome landing spot, but I made this point in the Trade Addicts Discord. If Carolina could make the corpse of Adam Thielen a wide receiver too, I believe Deontay Johnson can be a wide receiver too. And if Bryce Young improves in year two, there's upside for more there. We all know, I've said it a million times, everybody knows Deontay Johnson is a target hog. I believe he'll still be a target hog in Carolina. So I don't know that I can say for sure it's an upgrade. Actually, I can. I think it's an upgrade because Kenny Pickett and Mason Rudolph were so goddamn awful. Yeah. So I believe, like, I don't know what his exact numbers are. I'm sure he was like wide receiver, like 40 last year or something, Deontay Johnson. I got to believe he improves on that. There's not wide receiver one upside there or anything at this point, but I still like it for him. I still think it's better than staying in Pittsburgh, even with Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be targeted a ton. Like we said, even with them being a pretty not good offense last year, Adam Thielen was productive. So I just have to believe Deontay Johnson is going to be.
Points per game, wide receiver 44. You practically nailed that. But literally, honestly, that was my exact thought. Oh, young Adam Thielen, this is going to work well. I like Bryce Young. I have learned, I joined Rocky's Breaking Bad League almost reluctantly. Like he posted an opening and I'm like, and I cursed a lot. And I was just like, you know what? Just put me in this league already. I've been putting off joining it for like 3 years now.
I asked you when I started it 5 years ago. And you're
absolutely.
Like,
and every year there's openings and I'm like, let me just join. No, I'm not going to join. And then I'm just fine. I'm like, that's it. I'm joining it. And Bryce Young is on that team. And I took over the team. I start throwing out trade offers, and it wasn't really getting anywhere. So I'm like, you know what? Outhouse Challenge, let's go. In case you're new, it's been a while. An Outhouse Challenge is people send me trade offers. I put them out as Twitter polls. If the side being offered to me wins the Twitter poll, I accept the trade. Every single offer involved Bryce Young. Every offer. All of them lost, by the way. There was a close one, and it was pretty much the trade was Matt Stafford, Wandale Robinson, and a 25 second for Bryce Young and Noah Fant. That was 53-47. Like, I was sweating that one. But like, Trader Joe sends me Bryce Young for the 202. James, who's in TA10, I want to say, sent me the 111, and I'm like, this one might pass, but thankfully Bryce Young crushed that one. Like, and all I realized was I'm higher on Bryce Young than everyone else, because I'm like, what? No, this is awful. And even that Matt Stafford one, I'm like, this one might do it. And I would instantly deny that one if it was just an actual offer. He's still good. Like, he's not bad just because of what we saw last year. That offensive line was probably historically bad. And again, Adam Thielen had an amazing career, especially from being an undrafted free agent. But like, he's 46 with like 18 knee injuries. And there was no one else except for Hayden Hurst for two games in the beginning of the season. So like, and Deontay Johnson is it. That's what he has a safety blanket now. And they put work into that offensive line in free agency already. Not to mention they don't have any early draft picks because of trading up for Bryce Young. But they still have the draft to also build through that. So I do believe this team will get better. Unfortunately, this probably means I don't see that number five in that blue either, which was one of my hopes, to be able to see Bryce Young with he's not number five, you see, because that would completely ruin my number five. No, we think he's number nine. You know, of T. Higgins going to the Panthers also. But I love the landing spot for Deontay. He will walk into the Adam Thielen role, but probably do it better because he's more athletic than Adam Thielen is right now. And sorry, Deontay, that's not a high bar, but like, I like it. And the thing is, like, Deontay Johnson is cheap at this point. Like, you can probably send an early second and you're going to get a top 20 producing wide receiver.
By the way, nothing official or anything, but I just saw a tweet. The likeliest landing spots for Hollywood Brown are the Chiefs and the Bears, according to this tweet.
I keep seeing the Chiefs. That would be great. Like, Hollywood Brown was one of the fastest turnarounds I've done on a player I wasn't really into, and to be same. Like, okay, I was wrong. He's good.
Yeah.
Like, I changed fast because I bought into BMI Twitter back in 2019 hard. And it's just like, no, doesn't matter. This guy's good. He's getting the volume. It's not just a downfield thing, and he's taking the hits and not dying from them. So like, I turned around fast, and I loved, well, not this past year, him and Kyler, but like them coming back together. They did really well together. So like, I want him, like, him going to KC would be nice just for him. Yeah. Like, it would make me happy. But now I need to know what T. Higgins is going to do, because I'm terrified of him staying on the Bengals and holding out.
He's not going to hold out. He's going to play. Hold out. It never happens.
I know, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to be terrified of it, because A, it would make me sad not to see T. Higgins play, and B, I have so many shares. just go to the Giants so I can go to the drive 40 minutes and watch you play. Like, it would be terrible for you football wise, but I'm right here. Let's go. Okay. And I forgot to go to the re-signs. Tyler Lockett remaining in Seattle, which is a little bit of a deal, right? Because like, we want JSN to get those targets, to take that next step. I still think they move towards JSN anyway. Like, I would have felt better if Lockett left, because I don't care that he's 31. He's still very good. But even towards the end of the season, JSN was getting his. And it seems like they've learned with DK Metcalf that it works when you work these wide receivers in a little slowly. Let them start getting their legs under them in the NFL. Let them expand their route tree in the NFL. And it was working. He was getting 6 to 8 targets every single game and walking away with 5 to 7 catches every game towards the end of the season. So I'm still in on JSN with the Tyler Lockett news. Pittman stays in Indianapolis, and Kendrick Bourne. I love that Kendrick Bourne got money. Good for you, Kendrick Bourne. Anybody have anything about those Nope. No. All right. And let's finish with tight ends. Old faces, new places. Zach Ertz to Washington. Jonnu Smith to Miami. Jonnu Smith. Mike Gesicki to Cincinnati, another place that just gives me hope for a Penn State pass catcher that won't come to fruition. Gerald Everett to Chicago is interesting. And then re-signs Noah Fant back to Seattle. And I love this parentheses right here. Important because as of now, he's the only tight end on the roster. Does anyone care about any of this?
Yeah, if Zach Ertz might be like the ultimate aggregator of targets, just because Logan Thomas went away, all those other question marks they had at tight end, those guys are going away. He is the pass catching option in terms of the tight end position, which could be really interesting there, especially if they bring in a rookie quarterback. I was going through the thought exercise of Mike Gesicki earlier today, and that one broke my brain a little bit. It's hard to believe, like, we live in a world where Mike Gesicki did have over 100 targets at one point in time, and he didn't, and he just fell off, like, went to the Patriots, went to the new Mike McDaniel Dolphins system, whatever that looks like. It's amazing how value can just erode on some of these players. And Cincinnati doesn't have anything else at tight end. T. Higgins may be going away or not showing up to play at all this season. He may retire from football, honestly. And
like, I know you're doing this just to be mean, and it's working.
He could pull, just like Carson Palmer did with the Bengals, he could retire until he's traded. And
hey, but if he retires now, that's sooner he's eligible for the Hall of Fame. That's
there you go. So those are, I do think Noah Fant, like, he's someone that I wish got unlocked and went somewhere else. But there is a, he did get a decent chunk of change to be the tight end one there. And Will Disley, Colby Parkinson, I mean, those guys are somewhere else now. So that isn't insignificant.
The only one of these that interests me at all is maybe Zach Ertz. Well, first of all, just because I have way too many old Zach Ertz shares on my rosters. But also back with Kingsbury, who fed him a lot. And the rest, like, Mike Gesicki is just I thought that was maybe semi-interesting at first, but it just feels like this is like former interesting tight end prospect goes to Cincinnati and does nothing. Hayden Hurst, Irv Smith.
Maybe he's like Greg Olsen and just had a few years where he just didn't get it, and then all of a sudden it clicks.
Maybe.
Wasn't that Greg Olsen with the Bears? Like, took him a couple of years, then he went to the Panthers with Cam Newton, and then before you know it, he was a pass-catching savant.
Gary Barnage, let's go. Speaking of Panthers. And Browns, there you go. Like, the reason I like all of these things that we just listed, like, none of these tight ends will cost even a second to go and acquire. So if you believe in these guys are guys you can get thrown in on trades. So, like, if you want to go grab a couple of Gesicki shares, just in case, like, you probably don't have to do much to go get him. That's the only thing I will say about these, where I'm probably
going to be on a waiver wire.
Yeah, even be on the waiver wire. No, Jonnu Smith clearly worth a second just because he's riding that high from Atlanta. But we made it, guys. We made it through the free agent frenzy. Tim, thank you so much for coming on. I apologize for how long it's been. I even said, like, Tim, he messaged me. He's like, hey, it's been a while, you know, and I'm sorry for asking. Like, please don't be sorry for asking. I'm an a-hole for not asking 3 years ago. So thank you so much for coming on. I'm sorry for how long it's been, because you are a delight and it was so much fun. Before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, my name's Tim Torch. You can find my vocal work, my vocal musings over at uthdynasty.com on the Patreon side of things most of the time. I also do consulting services with the Fantasy Football King for Dynasty and for Redraft. So that's a lot of fun. I have some people that I've worked with for 6+ years now that I just keep reconnecting with every season. You can find me on X, formerly Twitter, at It's Tim Torch. I did change the Twitter handle. Sometimes it throws people off. It used to be at Tim NFL, and now it's at It's Tim Torch. And yeah, thank you for letting me come back on. It is a privilege to get to do these things with so many fun people in the industry. And it's been so long since I've had the opportunity to do one. It's really great talk with you guys.
Absolutely. And our stuff, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. You can hang out with us while we record, you know, make wonderful jokes in the chat that make me laugh and screw me up. Or, I mean, now, like, you don't have to feed me news because we got our intern going for that. But also we have our awesome Discord that we talked about plenty of times today as well. The Cool Kids Club. More importantly, fantasycares.org. So many things going on right now. We have in March Madness is this coming Sunday, is Selection Sunday. That gets started. So we have both men's and women's brackets going on with very, very good Magic Johnson signed jerseys. Dominique Wilkins signed, like, hearing the name Dominique Wilkins just makes me smile. Like, you know, so much good stuff and prizes. And of course, all of it goes to charity, right? And of course, I am going to, by the time I edit this and put it out, this won't work anymore. So I will just say, hey, how about that SFB news that just came out? Because Wednesday's going to be a fun day. Let me just put that out there. But of course, this is probably coming out Wednesday night or Thursday, so that doesn't really help. But, like, hey, that was fun, right? But thank you, everyone. And I am out of things to say and need to go to bed so badly. So good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants. That is the best. See ya.